All righty. Yeah, thank you, Dina. And we're going to just do things a little bit different. And I do have permission from Pastor Chris to do that. So I'm going to move this over here. I'm going to take this. And I'm going to sit down like the rest of you folks. Hopefully that'll alleviate some of the nervousness that I'm feeling right now. I thank Pastor Chris for the opportunity to share while he and his family are on vacation. And I chose one of those easy subjects to dive into, which is the Trinity. Far from easy. I'm going to take you a little bit on a journey of mine, why I think it's important. It's one of the foundational and fundamental doctrines of Orthodox Christianity, that there is one God and that he has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let me just mention that I was raised up in a Byzantine Catholic church. A lot of ornamentation in the building, beautiful building, priest dressed up in his priestly garb, a lot of ritual, a lot of liturgy, until I got into high school, the service was in Slovak, so I understood absolutely nothing of what was being said. While I was in high school, they switched over to English, and so I was able to pick up a few things. But even without knowing Slovak, there were a couple of things that you learned in the Catholic Church, Byzantine Catholic, Roman Catholic, very similar. One is that you're okay as long as you are baptized and that you go to church and go to confession. You're covered. The other is that that God has revealed himself as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's just ingrained into you. It's not really explained why we believe that. It is just like an assumption. This is what we believe. Well, after getting into college, I took my slide down, and on my journey with drugs and alcohol and all those other things that one gets into when one is experiencing the hippie lifestyle, I gave up on religion. Never gave up on God. I always kind of knew there was a God. And I think that was definitely the grace of God and the one thing that kept me from tipping over the edge. So, fast forward, come to a place where I was basically sick and tired of my old lifestyle, and I needed help. And fortunately, one day when at one of my lowest points, a lady comes by and tells me that Jesus loves me. And that was enough of a spark in my heart to give me hope to, okay, let's see what this means. Why I'm going to follow this, and I don't know exactly where it's going to go. I ended up in a Pentecostal holiness church. Good people. And I needed their, kind of like their strictness at that time, to help me to be able to put aside the drugs and the alcohol, because I couldn't do it on my own. And I accepted Christ as Savior. Praise the Lord. Now I'm in this new group, and I'm hearing about God, and I'm hearing also that they also believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Now, when I gave up on religion, I then became very skeptical of everything that I learned, basically, in the Catholic Church. And so now I'm hearing this again about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm also hearing about other groups that don't fall into the category of really Orthodox Christianity, but some believe that there's one God and he hides behind three different masks. And some only believe that the Father is God and Jesus is maybe a lesser God. And so I've got all these confusions, all these questions, and I want to know what the truth is. So I was reading the Word, I was paying attention to what is being told, and I'm coming to a place of it's not difficult believing that there is one God. Okay, and I've got a couple of scriptures here. In Isaiah 44, 6, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Pretty simple, pretty straightforward, one God. In Deuteronomy 4:35, "Unto thee it was showed, that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him." I'm okay with that. But how do we go from one God to these three persons in this Godhead, in this God that I now am submitting my life to? And there is a scripture in, I believe it is in Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And in that verse, one, when it speaks about one Lord, is a Hebrew word, echad, which is the word for a, like a collective, a multiple. It is not the singular word for one, but it is like when God said when a man marries a woman, they become one flesh. Well, you still have two people, but they become a unit. And so even in the Hebrew, back in the Old Testament, there is a little bit of a hint that there's more than one in this one that we call God. Now, there's some classic arguments or really presentations for the Trinity. One is in creation. In creation, we have God the Father. He speaks, and we assume that's the Word, and we also can learn that Jesus is the Word, and that the Spirit moves and hovers over the face of the deep. So we see three. We also see at Jesus' baptism that the Father speaks, and then we have Jesus being baptized, and the Spirit appears as a dove. At the resurrection, we have the Father, he raised Jesus. It also says that Jesus had power to lay down his life and to take it up again, and that the Spirit raised Christ from the dead, and that Spirit dwells in us. So again, we see the activity of these three persons, personalities. Sometimes for me it was hard to connect them all to be God, though. No problem with God the Father. A lot of times, especially in the New Testament, when they talk about Jesus, they talk about Jesus the Lord. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, but is he God? So I'm just sort of expressing some of the confusion, the problems that I had in believing this. I didn't want to just accept it because they said, well, we're telling you so. Or it says so in the Bible, go find it out. Now, it is good to know that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there are scriptures that verify that they are indeed God. In Ephesians 4:6, it says, we have one God and Father of all. So one God and Father of all. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in Acts 5:3-4, we have Ananias and Sapphira lying to the Holy Spirit, and then almost in the next breath, Peter says that you've lied to God. So we can see a connection between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all being God. I like pictures, and somehow I needed a little bit more. And so I'm going to share a little bit of something that helped me to grasp this reality. In Romans 1, verse 20, it says, the invisible things of God, his eternal power and Godhead, are clearly seen and understood by things that are made. Okay, so that there's something in creation that he has made that we could see something about his divinity, about this Godhead. And I'm going to take us way back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, here's where I'm going to try to maybe get a little input from you folks to try to keep you engaged. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? When we talk about the beginning, what does that imply we're talking about? Time. Okay? When we look at time, how is it usually divided? Yes. When we learned tenses in English, past, present, and future. And what I want us to see as we sort of go through some of these things, this threes making up one. Okay? Threes making up one. So we have time, past, present, future. Okay, that was the beginning. And he created the heavens, okay? When we think about heaven, what concept might come to mind? Stars, okay. Not quite where I'm heading for. Space. We live in a time-space continuum, and in this that we experience. How do we experience space? We live in what kind of a, how many dimension world? Three dimensions, okay? Length, width, and height, okay? Threes again. And then the last one is earth, okay? He created the earth. Any concept that might come to mind? Well, actually, that's another example of threes. Wasn't it? No, that's okay. It's still good. The sky, the land, and the seas, okay? Air, land, and water. But when I was thinking about the earth, I was thinking more of matter. Well, not quite. Matter. How many states of matter do we solid, liquid, and gas. Was there nothing? How often do you deal with plasma? Okay, but actually, Sophia, that was the answer I was looking for. Solid, liquid, and gas, the three states of matter. There's this pattern of threes making up one. And my belief is that God created the world this way so that we can get a glimpse of Him in the things that we experience. Maybe a couple of more here. Primary colors. You got it. Red, yellow, and blue. Three primary colors. There was a time when I was young, they talked about the nuclear family. What made up the nuclear family? Mother, father, and the child. And this is a little bit of an aside, but thinking of nuclear and atoms, if you split an atom, what do you get? A bomb, an explosion, a release of energy. And if it's not controlled, it's very explosive, very damaging. If the nuclear family is father, mother, and child, and that is split, what do we get? We get a lot of what we see today. We see a lot of collateral damage with broken families, families with no fathers, absentee fathers, a lot of damage. And I think we've all experienced that one way or another, either in our own lives, other family members. So I guess, again, this is an aside. My prayer is that as God gets hold of our hearts, we would be more able to appreciate what He has originally given us as a family, and to make where we are as good as it can be, and just trust God to fill in missing parts. Okay, so we've established a pattern of threes. Okay, now I want to go to one example of this, and I think it might be in the bulletin. If I might grab this, Pastor Chris said that he was going to put the one scripture in here, and no, I don't see it. So let me just say that in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, who has a Bible handy or a Bible app handy that can read that out? Exodus 3, verse 6. Okay. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. We're going to look at that. That phrase is repeated many times in the Old Testament. That's how God was acknowledged. One of the ways He was acknowledged. God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. So we're going to first look at the God of Abraham. In Hebrew, Abraham is Avraham. Avraham is the father of many nations. Okay? Now, who can help me out a little bit in giving me a little something of importance in Abraham's life an experience that he had. That wasn't Abraham. We'll get to that. That's Jacob. Okay? Abraham, if you remember, was told to take his son, his only son Isaac, and sacrifice him. Okay? So, we have this picture of Abraham, the father of many nations, offering up his son. That's right. Well, that's true, but the promised son was Isaac. And Abraham is told to go and sacrifice his son. And who is that a picture of if we look at the Trinity? Who is doing the sacrificing? Abraham is told to make... Okay, Abraham is a picture of the Father. That's okay. Abraham is a picture of the Father, okay? And he is the one that was willing to sacrifice his own son. We see that in our Heavenly Father. He's the one that gave his son Jesus to be our sacrifice. And where Abraham was told to hold back and not kill his son, our Heavenly Father was willing to go ahead with the sacrifice. Amen. Amen. I'm going through my little journey of what helped me to have a clear picture of the Trinity. Okay? So now we have the God of Isaac, Yitzhak in Hebrew. Okay, Isaac. Dorothy was filling in a little bit of Isaac. He was the son of Abraham. He was going to be the sacrifice. If you remember the story, both Isaac and his father are going up to Mount Moriah, and he says to his father, "Father, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where is the sacrifice?" And I mention that because Isaac was carrying enough wood to burn, in his mind, an animal, and in Abraham's mind, his own son. He was going to be a burnt offering. Isaac had to have this bundle of wood strapped somehow to his back, and he's journeying up to Mount Moriah, which they say is somewhere near Mount Calvary. He's a picture of who? Jesus. He's a picture of Jesus. Okay? Then we go to the God of Jacob. In Hebrew, Yaakov. I would have a hard time naming my son Jacob these days, because Jacob means supplanter, usurper, one that grabs the heel, one that is just selfish. Exactly. And he was, Jacob was the one that, if you know his story, he was a bit of a conniver. He was just going to get his way. And when we all start off, before Christ as Jacobs. That's the way that we are. That's the old nature. But Drew was mentioning how he was speaking of the one that wrestled with an angel. That was Jacob. What happened when he wrestled with the angel? Anybody know? Say again. Actually, it was his hip, but his hip was dislocated, so he walked with a limp after that. He was humbled, and he also had a name change. Name was changed from Jacob, the supplanter, the usurper, to Israel. Israel in Hebrew is a prince. A prince. What is the story of Jacob when we see that picture? Where does he fit in the Trinity? We've only one left. We've covered the Father, the Son. What's left is the Holy Spirit. In the life of Jacob, we see the transition from, we would call it, sinner to saint. He had a name change, which was also an identity change. He went from Jacob to Israel. And that is what the Holy Spirit did in our lives when we came to Christ and received Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things are become new. So we may act like a Jacob, but we're not. Before I got saved, I was a dyed-in-the-wool Jacob. But Christ changed my heart. Now, I still may act like a Jacob once in a while, and more often than I want to. And that might be the same for you, too. But if you've received Christ, that is not your identity, the Jacob. The new identity is a prince or princess. That's who we are. And I believe identity is so, so, so important. Now, I want to kind of, a few other observations from these names and these characters, and then I'm going to let you guys go. We're going to go back to Abraham, okay? Abraham and specifically our Father, Heavenly Father. Two things that sort of come to mind immediately, and they're taken from John 3:16. Is that right? Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave. What can we learn from the character of God the Father? First is that he loves us. Okay? This is foundational, fundamental. If we are having problems in our Christian walk, it is most likely because we don't fully realize and accept how much God loves us. And I've been reading a book about the importance of fathers in the lives of sons, but also in the lives of daughters. Fathers are the ones that usually affirm their children. And we have an example from that even out of Scripture. When Jesus was being baptized, the Father from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, I don't know about you folks. I had a decent dad, okay? I had a decent dad. Since we were Byzantine Catholic, there was a lot missing in teachings of God. You go to church and that was what was expected. So there were things that where my dad was far from perfect. But the one thing also that personally I did not get a whole lot of affirmation on was for myself personally. Okay, and I'm not. Well, that's probably an area we could grow in, but I want to emphasize the love of God. And if we accept that love, just as Dina was mentioning the object lesson she was going to have for the kids about a big container, God's love, a small container, the love that we can contain, we don't have much love to give if we don't acknowledge the love that we have from our Heavenly Father. And the other point I wanted to make about the Father is He's a giving God. And that is something that real love does. It gives. And I have to confess, I'm still on a journey with this thing about loving people. I'm good with giving out hugs, but loving people in a sacrificial way, I'm still growing in that. But I'm not content with being where I am. And I hope all of us are somewhat not content, but know that there's more to grow into. From there, I want to move to the God of Isaac, the picture of Jesus. In Scripture, it says that Jesus came in truth and grace. In truth and grace. Okay? Truth. The Word of God is truth. And the more that we invest ourselves in God's Word, the more truth we will have, and it is truth that will set us free. So I encourage all of us, wherever we're at with our walk with the Lord, with getting into the Word, I just encourage you to continue. Continue. It's important. And grace. I don't deserve to be sitting here talking to you folks about God and His love. But I've experienced the grace of God. I didn't deserve it, but because of God's love, He gave it, and I received it. And I'm sure you have too. And so once we receive His grace, He also wants to be vessels of grace and to be gracious with other folks. Sometimes I have to admit for myself, still growing in that. I can be critical. I cannot view people the way God always does, but I'm not content with where I am, and I continue to want to grow in that grace and being gracious. And now the last one is the Holy Spirit, the God of Jacob. And we read about on the day of Pentecost, they were supposed to wait and be endued with power. So when I think about the Holy Spirit, I think of that transformative work that He does. And it's not a one and done. It's not a one and done in that I accepted Christ and now I don't have to learn anymore. I don't have to change anymore. Life is a changing experience. And so to allow God's Holy Spirit to take the Word and to continue to change us. And then also power. The early church was to wait and to be endued with power. There is power. That word power, I believe, is dunamis, the word that we get dynamite from. Sometimes I live like I lack power. And I think maybe sometimes all of us feel that way, whether it's physical power, you know, in our bodies, whether it's emotional power, I'm just drained. spiritual power. It's like, God, I'm just tired. But he endues us with power. And to stay in that place where God would continue to fill us with his Holy Spirit so that again we can be vessels of his Holy Spirit to reach out and to touch others. So that is my little journey. That picture of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob kind of just helped me solidify my understanding and what I hope is the biblical understanding of the Trinity. And I hope that in some way you have been blessed. And so I'm just going to say a little benediction and dismiss you fine folks. I appreciate your cooperating with me. I appreciate your input. Appreciate your patience. And Heavenly Father, we want to just say thank you for being God, the God of love, the God of truth, and the God of power. And Lord, as we go from this place, may we experience your presence, Lord, in a way that maybe we've not experienced before, so that we can give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.